to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. This is a very special episode. We're going to talk all about Heart of Africa. So coming up in the second half, we're going to visit with one of the actors in the film, Brandon Olive, and we're going to be able to get to know his experience. But right now, I'm going to do my very best to introduce you to him properly and to say his name in a way that he would prefer me to. I've been practicing. Choper Kabambi.
Yeah.
And you are, as I understand it, you co-produced this film.
Yes.
You are the cinematographer on the film. You
yes.
directed it.
Yes.
Do you act in it? Are you a performer in the film?
I act one scene, but we just cut it because I was bad.
Yeah. Well, and you're also the editor, so you were able to be like, nope, we are taking that right out. The Heart of Africa is an amazing story, and I want to give you this platform to be able to tell people not only the story of the film, but the rich, rich story of making the film.
Yeah.
So pick that up wherever you would like to, and I'll just ask questions along the way.
Okay. Heart of Africa is a story about two missionaries. One is Congolese. His name is Ngandu, Gabriel Ngandu, and the other one is an American from Idaho, United States, and they have to work together to build an orphanage. But that will be difficult because they have prejudices. They have prejudices between them.
Hmm.
The black one grown up in a camp, a revolutionary camp. They teach him that white people are very bad because they did bad things to our ancestors. And they still do bad things for steal our minerals and keep war in our countries in Africa. They teach him a lot of bad things. And the other one, the white one, have also an internal conflict because he did some bad things in the past. Then they have to work together. They have to work for build the orphanage. And it was very difficult for them to work together because of these prejudices and bad things. But they will figure out how to work together, how to love together. And yeah, there is many, many things in the film, and I would like people to discover the story. But this story is also about love between peoples, even people who have the same race or different races. It's very important to love each other and to build a future, a better future for everybody. Because, and it's also about bridge between cultures. Yeah, because, you know, we grown up in Africa and you guys grown up in America. We have different cultures, but we have to find a way to put these creatures together for build a best future. This film is also about a country. My country, we doesn't make a lot of movies. My country, we have a lot of problem, but we are good. We have nice people. We have good pupils. And we have very, very good stories to tell to the world. You know, in our television station, we also have American stories. We also have French stories or European stories or Asian stories. But we doesn't have a lot of African stories. And this film is made for push the industry, cinematography industry in my country. Then we can start make movies, not just for us, but for everybody. And to make these films together with the world, you know? And yeah, this film is about many things, many, many things.
And the country that you speak of is the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Yes.
Some people may hear that and they'll go, Africa, I assume, but where in the continent of Africa is the DRC?
The DRC is in the center.
Okay.
It's a very, very big country and a very, very rich and beautiful country. Yeah.
And you yourself are from the DRC?
I'm from the DRC and I live there. I live in Kinshasa since I was born.
And how is the day-to-day life of the of a citizen of the DRC? Is it like the United States at all? Is it vastly different?
It's vastly different. Life is most difficult there. I know everybody have his problem, but we have elementary problems. You know, water, foods, electricity. We have, you know, we don't have a lot of roads. If you are in a city for fly in another city, you have maybe to pay the same price to fly in Europe or in America. But you are in your country. It's very difficult to travel in the country. There is some part of my country, they still have war. People still die. They have sometimes Ebola. And people die with malaria. We don't have a health service. Service de santé. Comment tu dis ça?
Health system.
Health system service for help people to get good health. We still have a lot of problem in my country. But we are hoping that that will be better next times.
Could I just add something?
Sure, absolutely. This voice is Bruce Young, who... What's your relation to Chopper?
We're Chopper. Best friends. No,
yeah, we're sure. We're best friends.
You can be best friends. Yeah. What would you like to add?
Well, actually, I'm also one of the producers of the film. My wife, Margaret Blair Young, co-wrote the film with Chopper, and it was originally her idea many years ago and eventually became transformed and amazingly by Chopper Kabambi. What I just wanted to add is that everything that Chopper says is true, but also Americans may not realize that if you visit the country, if you're in the cities, in the larger cities, people wear the same kind of clothes that we do. They have phones.
Yeah.
They have internet, though it's not always reliable. And so there's a lot that will be familiar as well, at least in the cities.
Yeah, so Kinshasa, we have cars. We have also fly and copters. And we have buildings. We have...
But in these remote parts, it sounds like it is... It is, and I don't know the politically correct term. I know third world country is not politically correct anymore, but
it is
poverty.
Poverty, yeah. Yes, yeah, sure, poverty, and maybe I can say many political men are rebs. Corruption. There is corruption.
They're corrupt.
There is a lot of corruptions in my country. But we just have a new government, and we think that things will going better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. So you brought up in kind of the early part of this, the significance of a story coming out from your country, a story of the DRC by the DRC, the people of the DRC. And I think that it's interesting to note all of the crew and those who worked on the film. As I understand it, aside from Brandon, who we'll hear from later in this episode, everyone else is a citizen of the Congo.
Yeah, this film is totally made by Congolese. The crew was Congolese. It was amazing. It was it was a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my gosh, that this film will be possible with my friends, just with Congolese. Should I maybe ask help to American guys or European guys for just DOP, make sound.
Director of photography, just in case people don't know.
Yeah. Yes, but my crew was just amazing, and I love them. We did most than we can do. We was just training ourselves many days before starting the shooting. Because we had to use camera we never used before. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge for us, and we found a way to figure out. And my friends in Congo are just amazing.
Yeah. How did you get connected with Margaret Blair Young to be able to do this project? And then what's your experience in doing these kind of things?
Everything was good. You know, I met Margaret for the first time in 2014, and she came in Congo, and she met Emembui. Emembui is one of the men who inspired this film. And he talk his story to Margaret, and Margaret say, "I want to make this a movie." And she told Margaret, "I have a friend, Chopper Kabambi. I was also friends with Margaret Bell Young on Facebook since maybe I think 2012. We were friends, but we never met. When she came in Congo, we meet, we talk in this project. And we work very nicely because I was listening for her, she was listening for me, but the first thing was she trusted me as I trust her.
Yeah.
It's why everything going in trusting. I trust my team trusts to me, and everybody trusts everybody, and that's happened.
And it being the first film to be filmed not only in the DRC, but then also to be able to share it internationally, correct?
Not really the first film to be shot in Congo.
Okay.
Because we already shoot film.
Okay.
Sometimes video, you know, not very professional. Sometimes short films.
Okay.
And at the past, when the Belgium was there, they shoot a lot of film with Congolese people, but that it was not Congolese movies.
Okay.
And in 1807, also, someone, a Belgian and a Congolese, shoot a film, but it was La Vie est Belle. It's one of our greatest films in Congo.
Mm.
And this film is a Belgian film, you know. In 2000, a Belgian guy also come to shoot a film, Viva River. And some of my friends also shoot films like Makila, made by Macheri Ekwa. And you know, we have some, but this a kind of a first professional one in film in the good conditions with a very big crew and with a very big dream, because this film means a lot of things for us. And this is the first film, Congolese film, to be released in America.
That's what the first of its kind is.
Yes.
So an interesting thing, if you have been a longtime listener of the Cultural Hall, you will remember a long time ago, and I don't even know if Bruce knows this, but we had Margaret Blair Young here on the show, and she spoke very vaguely about this project, and that was probably 7, 8, 9 years ago, where she was like, "Well, I'm doing a thing, and I can't tell you any more about it than that." And I was like, "No, come back. Make sure that we know what these things are." And I don't actually even remember off the top of my head what that that first meeting with Margaret was about. But it's awesome to see not only the dream to take place, but also to become realized. You mentioned that it's incredibly impactful for you to be able to see this done. What sort of lessons did you learn along the way? Maybe both practical, like the technical things that you learned to do, but also, like, what does it mean to you that this film is now done and going to be shared?
This film means a lot for me, but just not for me, for my family, because I'm from a very poor family and I'm from very far away. And that means also many things for my crew, for my team, for my friends, filmmakers, because I have to precise that I'm not alone in Congo. We have a lot of talented young men who try to make movies, who make movies, and they are very talented. That means many things for them that Heart of Africa is here and will be released, and it is released now in America. That gives us power to continue to never give up, because every day we have a lot of difficult life, even for rent our houses, even for have something to eat for our family, even for everything is just organized to just for us to don't continue. But sometimes most of us just fell down. They just stopped. If they have a chance to go in another country, they just go for one way and never come back.
Wow.
But to see this film happen means that we can continue to trust and to hope and to continue, because the future is better for us.
And it's something you're pretty committed to. You could make this film, which you have, and then come to America and say, goodbye, DRC, I'm never coming back. But you have made that commitment that you will return to the Democratic Republic of Congo.
I will return because, you know, as I say, we have to be the change we want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want our country to go up. We want our country to grow up. If we leave our country, who can change for us things? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have to be the development. We have to develop our country, to develop our country. And I have to do that to my sector, in the cinematography sector. I'm the one who can do that. And I also work with my friends, with my brothers, with my family,
yeah.
with the people from my country. I have to work with them to grow up and to develop our country. Hmm.
You know, I know from films like this where there is that spiritual part to it. You know, it's depicting two different missionaries, one from America and one from the DRC. They're working together to build something.
Yeah.
Both a figurative something and a literal something, which I love. And I know that people walking away from this film will feel changed. A two-part question. I know that with these types of films, there is always adversity. Things that you're like, there's no way something this bad could happen as you're working on it. Was there adversity as you guys were working on this film that you had to push through?
J'ai pas très bien compris la question, Bruce.
The difficulties, the challenges in making this film. Were there any? Were they very hard?
Yeah, we got a lot of challenges in this film. You know, the first one was with accreditations. To get accreditations was very, very difficult. Uh-huh. They ask us a lot of money. We doesn't have this money. Even for have some equipment, it was very difficult because this film is not is a low-budget film. Mm-hmm. I can say it's a no-budget film, you know. And it was also difficult because, yeah, one of my friends was just arrested in this film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we were shooting somewhere and they come just show us accreditation. We showed them accreditation because we had an accreditation, but they thought you need another accreditation to film, and you have an American here.
Oh,
we
wow.
have to know why an American is here. And they wanted to take the American guy, but that will be very bad if they took him because, yeah, he was one of the men on the film. And if he said and a little bit secoué, comment tu dis ça? S'il était triste et secoué, ça allait être pas bien pour le film.
If he was removed? No.
Yeah, if he emotionally, if he was shaken up, yeah, I think that will be bad for the film. And we organized things to keep him safe.
Yeah.
And sometimes he was understand what happened with the policemen who came every time. We had to stop shooting every time to show their paper and just to discuss and to give them some money for leave us a lot. Yeah, it was very difficult. We got a lot of challenges, and I got sick, typhoid and malaria same time. I was directing.
Oh.
Yeah, and Brandon also, all of my team were sick because we went to shoot somewhere. It wasn't our place. We doesn't live there. Mm-hmm. It was difficult. A lot of mosquito. You know, everybody got sick. Sometimes I was just crying. Myself, I was crying to see how people, they are sick, but they still work because they are trust to this project. Hmm. It was very, very hard for me to see that. Hmm. But it was a challenge. It was about life or die for us.
Yeah.
And we did it.
Yeah, you lived. Spoiler, you lived through it, and
yeah.
And the film is being made, and it's called Heart of Africa. You know, we'll talk about several times within this episode that it's so important that as soon as you can, you see this film with opening weekends, with that first week of run. Those numbers are really important, especially to independent film, but to all films. It indicates that an audience wants to see it, and they can keep things around a little bit longer. So I'm sure we'll mention that again. The adversity we've talked about, what about the blessings that came from it? Did you ever see a divine intervention or like the hand of God in the making of the film?
That's happened since the beginning of this project. Look at me. Where am I from? Who am I for being here and release my film for the first time in America?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God happened, it was since the beginning of this project.
Yeah.
And every day we are shooting, and every time, even at editing, it's just about giving, it's about God.
Mm.
It's a testimony, this project, since the starting and the ending, it's a testimony.
I'm wondering if, Chopra, you want to talk about the prayer you said when you were young, that if you were able to make films.
Oh, yes, please. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, when I was young, I just realized that it was difficult to make a movie. And I was arrested the first time I made the movies. I was put in jail for 4 days. My family doesn't know where I am.
As a young person, how old were you?
I was 16,
okay.
I think. And I just make a prayer. I say, God, if you help me to become a filmmaker, even not a famous filmmaker, just a filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
if I'm able to do a movie, even a short movie, I will train people to make movies.
Hmm.
I will be the man who can push people to make movies in my country. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
God keep his promise. He let me make movies, and then I also try to keep my promise. Since 4 years, we have workshops in Congo. We call that the l'idée au film, to idea, from idea to films, to movies. Then we have around 15 young people who wanted to make movies, who are training every year how to write and how to film, how to make editing,
yeah.
how to become DOP. We train them, and now we can say that we are in the good way because we have some good Congolese short films, and we have our film festival in Congo. As you can imagine, I just want people to go see Heart of Africa. Because if they see this film, it's not just about paying money and see a film for them. No,
right.
It's about help an industry to grow up in Congo.
Are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Since 2 years, I'm a member.
Since 2 years?
Yes.
So you live in the DRC and you're a member of the church. Are there congregations there that people gather, or are you pretty much on your own with your family, or how does that work there?
Yeah, I'm new. I'm a new member, and that took me time to really understand everything. But we have a congregation, and everything's, yeah, you know, the church is growing up very fast in Africa, and mm-hmm. I think in Congo the church is growing up very fast, and I think many good things will happen with the church.
Yeah. Bruce?
Just thought it might interest people to know that in the capital, Kinshasa, where Chopra lives, there are 12 stakes.
Oh, wow.
Over 70 wards and branches, mostly wards. There are buildings throughout the city. There's, you know, usually a couple of thousand converts per year, and high retention, great leadership. So, yeah, it's well established and it's growing.
That is amazing. Is there there's not a temple in the DRC?
Yes.
Is there?
Yes.
Oh, there is. A functioning temple?
Yeah.
How embarrassed am I? I'm sorry that I didn't realize that.
In fact, the young man Emimbui, upon whom the movie is based, is the facilities manager of the Kinshasa DRC temple.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's interesting then to note that in a lot of ways, even though there are those 12 stakes within, you know, the Kinshasa area and yeah. within the country, that still relatively young and now you get that opportunity to be a pioneer, you know, a different kind of pioneer
yeah.
than we would be used to in the United States. And
yeah.
and maybe that mantle being placed on you seems maybe a little bit heavy, but you are able to share this story in a way that people can hopefully understand. And I'm sure that there are, as you mentioned sort of at the beginning of this, there are lessons to be learned, not only racial lessons, the relations between people within your country and the United States and with that country, interpersonal relationships that we have with one another. I'm sure missionaries will just be able to take lessons away from that.
Yeah.
It's such a unique medium and so amazing to hear your story in relation to making this be able to work and to know that God blessed you and answered your prayer.
Yes.
How long ago was that? You were 16. How long ago? How old are you now?
Now I have 35.
You're 35. So yes. Almost 19 years ago to offer up that prayer and to be able to see this film. The premiere has taken place and an audience was able to be there to watch it. We only have a couple more minutes. What was that experience like being able to see your film on the screen?
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was a kind of miracle for me. And the audience just like and love the film. I was very touched. My heart, I was just crying, listening to people comment this film made in Congo. They told me that the film is very powerful. Some of them laugh, some of them cry, and some of them just feel their self in Congo. This film just take you in Congo and take you to discover how Congolese people are good and how they have a lot of love to share with you guys and how we can do better together.
Yeah. There's three questions that we ask everyone who steps into the cultural hall, so I'll ask those of you right now. The first question is do you have a calling in your congregation right now? And if so, what is it?
For the moment, no, I don't have a calling.
Okay.
I'm still waiting.
if you could pick one of all those that you know about, what would you pick?
I don't know. I really like to teach all the pupils about what I know mostly, making movies.
Yeah.
I would like many people in the congregation to become filmmakers too, to tell their story. But I'm able to do what God will ask me to do.
Yeah. The last question that we ask everyone who steps into the cultural hall is, and you can interpret this however you would like to, but what is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part of my faith? The confirmation that I'm on the right way. I got some dreams, I got some confirmations, and I don't need someone to tell me that because I can feel that. And I have the right confirmation from God himself.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We're going to take a break real quick. Coming back in the second block of the Cultural Hall, we're going to talk with that white American actor that had the opportunity to be a part of that film. You'll recognize his voice. He's been here in the Cultural Hall before with another film. It's Brandon Olive, and we'll talk to him coming back in the second block of the Cultural Hall.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
What's up, everybody? I just want to take a quick second and tell you about Best DJ in Utah. You can find me online, BestDJInUtah.com, where you will get a free quote. And I'll get that thing back to you in like 12 hours or less, or like one just now. I think her name was Emily. Like, she sent it, and I happened to be on my phone, and I saw the request for a quote come in. And I went beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, and sent it right back to her. Boom.
It's as simple as that. If you're getting married, maybe in the great state of Utah, or you'd like me to be at your wedding wherever you are, you just need to go to bestdjinutah.com. I ask for a little bit of information, and then I can provide that quote for you. Been doing this almost 10 plus years. Been doing it on my own now for 3 years. Got cool weddings coming up in Louisiana in a couple of weeks now. Just go to bestdjinutah.com. And now there are social medias for Best DJ in Utah. You can find them on all of the Facebooks and the Instagrams and no Twitter, because who tweets about Best DJ in Utah? Well, everyone should, but I don't have a Twitter. It's at Best DJ in Utah.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. Are you experiencing panic attacks, nausea, or diarrhea? Is your computer not turning on? Is it running super slow? Is your internet crawling? Or is it just randomly crashing? You could be suffering from ICS, Irritable Computer Syndrome. I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you had your PC cleaned? Over time, Windows, updates, spyware, malware, and dangerous viruses will make your computer run like crap. You need to bring in your laptop or desktop PC, no matter what brand it is, and let me run a 100% free virus scan, malware, and spyware scan on your computer. Don't wait and risk losing everything. Now, why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that if you or any of your friends or family need a computer, service, or phone repair, you come to PC Laptops first. Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, where computers start at $7.99. PC Laptops, we love you!
Here in the second block of the Cultural Hall, now, you know, we've spoken to the director, now to one of the actors. We visited him with him before. He was in the Homesteadio. Now he's on the phone doing something else. I don't know. We've got Brandon Olive. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Richie.
Now, you know, you play a missionary, as I understand it, in Heart of Africa.
Correct.
Now, I just, you know, I don't want to do the heavy pressure here, but you, in the when we talked to you before, you got to play the prophet Joseph Smith, and now you're playing a missionary, so I feel like one of two things need to happen here, Brandon.
What's that?
And get ready for the hard sale. I feel like you either need to join or you need to start letting those of us who are members of the church start to play some of these parts, or you're going to take all of our parts.
No, man. It's crazy how it's worked out that way. We actually shot Heart of Africa first. I shot that before playing Joseph Smith and Out of Liberty. So my first experience with anything was actually going to Africa, and so it was the research and the work behind it had a lot more to do with culture shock and you know and race and nations and things like that. So, but it informed me a great deal and certainly influenced me as I departed that and got ready for Out of Liberty.
Well, and I just like to give you a hard time. I don't want to make it an uncomfortable or an awkward discussion that we have. I think it speaks more to your talent as an actor, and certainly people have seen that in the opportunity that they had to go see Out of Liberty. And now that they have the chance, even though it seems sort of chronologically in our head messed up to know that Heart of Africa was before, right, but now we're seeing it after and all those things. There are definitely a lot of very unique things about Heart of Africa. And I know from just having had the opportunity to speak to the director, you know, we talked a lot about the opportunity to film in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Am I getting it right? The DRC, right?
Yep, the DRC.
But I want to know about those things that were difficult for you, the challenges, yeah, the unique perspectives that you gained from your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I go into that, I appreciate you saying what you said. But I also think that me getting to do this role in Heart of Africa, as well as playing the prophet Joseph Smith in Out of Liberty, speaks volumes to the people in the church who are open and evolving in a way to allow others to step into the shoes of people who otherwise wouldn't understand. So I think that is that's a bridge that's being built from the inside out, and I applaud everyone who's doing that.
Well, and on the other side of that, before you go away to the actual question I asked you, let me stopgap that, put in another question. It's a tremendous amount of trust that we as audience members put in you, right? A responsibility, yeah, in some way that it's like, hey, pal, these characters, both Joseph Smith and our missionaries, are very important to us. You better not mess this up.
No, absolutely. And certainly feel that pressure. I think from my perspective, it actually might be a bit more natural or easier of a transition because I don't have to worry about an ideal or an idea in my head or portraying something a way that I want people to see it portrayed, as opposed to just stepping in the shoes of another human who's being and trying to experience what, you know, and understand what life would be like if that were me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of, you know, hopefully that is what allows people to hopefully believe it more than not believe it, if that makes sense.
For sure. So now the very unique aspect of this, you know, we talked pretty in depth about the opportunity that it took to be filmed in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call it the DRC from now because otherwise I feel like I'm saying the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints every time, and I could just say Mormon. So we're just going to say DRC. How was that experience for you? You don't look or act or come from a cultural background as everyone in the DRC.
No, and I certainly don't fit in the DRC. You stand out. You stand out quite drastically. So the DRC is not somewhere that people travel to often. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like on the embassy's kind of no-fly zone. They highly encourage you not to travel there for a lot of reasons. It's not, at least the propaganda and the rhetoric that we receive on our end, which oftentimes I believe comes from inside the DRC back to us. It's not necessarily our government, but their government. And they want to keep it that way because of kind of the hierarchy of the dictatorship and what's going on down there. When I first had the opportunity and I was kind of exploring, well, does this make sense? Is this safe? I have, you know, two kids and a wife, and this seems a little crazy. You start doing research, and of course, you find the most common topics like Ebola and malaria and typhoid and all these outbreaks that are going on. Which is certainly a crazy perspective right now with COVID-19 and everything that's going on. But and then you start to there's a lot. Let's just say there's a lot of content out there to discourage you from going.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, we had to. I believe, if I'm correct here, I don't know. But I believe I was under the impression that I flew in under a humanitarian visa, so we actually hid the original intention of making a movie because the government does not support storytelling for the Congolese voice and the Congolese people in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They're too fearful of being exposed for certain things, and they're too fearful of maybe the world seeing things that are happening there. So we kind of went in under the radar. And when we got there, I quickly realized that on one hand, there are some things to worry about.
Yeah.
For sure. On the other hand, the Congolese people themselves are some of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my entire life. They literally live in a world that is completely opposite of ours. But they are beautiful people. Like when we're seemingly worlds apart and we're seemingly so different, but underneath it all, we're all people who have feelings and we have stories and we have voices, and every single one of ours needs to be heard. And so that was the mission we were on, was to get down there and to get a true, like the first truly Congolese story out from the Congolese people. So we had American support, but we did not influence. We let them make the movie the way they wanted to make it, tell the story they wanted to tell, and then stylistically and cinematically launch what will hopefully become the first taste of what Congolese cinema, the style of cinema, just like German cinema, French cinema, American cinema. Now we're going to have that kind of first taste of what a Congolese cinema style is going to be. And at the same time, we'll have the Congolese voice represented for the first time. It's a very historic moment. First time ever a truly homegrown Congolese film will be shown in America. And that's something that I'm very, very, very proud to be a small part of.
And that's worth just pointing out again the significance of. That's not like the first Congolese voiced like LDS-themed church film or anything like that, right? It is the first film.
The first film that is actually being distributed and in America. Mm-hmm. It was made in the Congo with a Congolese director, Congolese crew, Congolese actors, based on a Congolese true story, and about a revolutionary who despised and hated not just Americans, but white Americans and all white people, because this revolutionary believed that white people were the cause of all the suffering and all the pain of all Africans. And through his personal story of being a revolutionary and then turning to God, he becomes a missionary. Hmm. And it is a beautiful, beautiful story. And it just so happens that, it's not only is it going to play in America and make history, but I've just found out that it's going to be playing on Air France. So the first Congolese film that'll actually be somewhat global, if you will, catching people going, you know, to and fro all over the world.
Now, I think it's a safe bet to say that you are not the Congolese gentleman that hated white people and then became a missionary. So who do you depict in this?
So I'm the companion. I play Jason Martin. I am the white American. Let's just say that. As it's referenced in the film, Petit Baton, I'm the white ghost, the idealistic, privileged, entitled, somewhat aloof and oblivious American that comes to the Congo to spread the word. And in turn, I end up getting more out of it probably than I ever had anticipated. It's a dynamic. It really is a story of relationships. It's a story of understanding, of empathy, of breaking down these kind of patriarchal or hierarchical statuses and these racial statuses, and really understanding that that there is a whole nation of people, if not the oldest nation of people, that deserves to be fairly represented in cinema and in storytelling in general.
So let me ask you this. In comparison, and I'm not going to ask you to compare these films, but we have these true life stories like the Saratov Approach and uh-huh. Freetown that sort of touch on probably some of these same issues. I think you said his name was Jason Martin. Is that right?
Correct.
Is that a real person? And did you have the opportunity to meet him and to be able to get his story, or is that?
So the emphasis of the inspired by actual events or based on true story, is about the Congolese missionary. So I'd never talked to a Jason Martin. Margaret Blair Young and Chopin Kumabi, they wrote the script together. I'm not entirely sure that my character was based exclusively on someone who existed, but I certainly approached it in a way that, you know, that there is someone out there that traveled to Africa, if not the Congo or Nigeria or Uganda or Rwanda, and probably went through something similar to this. The emphasis of the true story itself is on the actual Congolese revolutionary term missionary.
And such an interesting thing, because as you pointed out, where you don't come from having had a mission experience in that way, you're able to depict it in what would seem like I don't want to say more authentic, but you aren't bringing your mission experience, say if you served in Switzerland or Cleveland, like you are able to blank slate it and be like, well, what would this situation be like? How would I react?
I remember the plane flight over to the Congo. It was kind of like settling into the character and saying, I mean, this is what it would be like, right? You get on a plane, you leave your family, you don't know when you're going to talk to them, and you're not exactly sure when you're going back. I didn't have a return flight yet. And when I step off this plane, no matter all the research I've done, no matter all the intention I have, I do not know what to expect. And it's going to be an experience. And the truth is, it mirrored the movie that we were making. It's really hard to articulate and explain.
Yeah.
But unlike you brought up Saratov Approach, right? Garrett Batty, who directed that, also directed Out of Liberty. I don't have all the information, but I imagine they had quite a few Americans that traveled to go make that film, you know, be it crew, be it actors, et cetera. I was the only one. And and it was all Congolese. So, we're talking not just culture shock, not just racial shock. We're talking language shock. We're talking interpretation. We're talking translation. They speak so many different languages there, Lingala, French, and then a mix of a lot of different African languages that, it was really a crazy experience that I would imagine a missionary, it would be probably very similar to a missionary stepping off a plane in the Congo saying, okay, this is crazy. Like all the research I've done, it's still like I'm in the moment and what's going to happen is going to happen and I don't know what to expect.
You mentioned in your comments earlier that, you know, they're just truly the most beautiful people. And I think people that have served a mission and other folks as well, but since it's sort of centered around missions, like when you ask them about the people of whatever city or whatever country they served in, I think they would echo that sentiment of these are the most beautiful people that I just came to love, no matter if I was very similar to them or very different to them. I'm hoping, and I know you said it was difficult, but I'm hoping you can kind of expound on their beauty, on what made them beautiful, on what you will take away from this experience that the Congolese people truly taught you.
Well, so and I appreciate that question because that allows me to be specific and exactly what I want to share and translate with people everywhere. The Congolese people do not have what we have. They have nothing. They don't have running water. They don't have clean water. They don't have power. They don't have medicine. They don't. They literally have zero resources, zero equipment, zero infrastructure, zero salary, zero benefits, zero anything. Yet, they're the most loving, happy, inviting, celebratory, strong. There's a word in Lingala, the native tongue down there, called Makasi. And Makasi is strong. And Motema means heart. And it's the thing that I just think about all the time is Makasi Motema or Motema Makasi. Like, they just have strong heart because there's so many of us that find ourselves in situations in life that where we get down, you know, down over bills or down over this or down over that. And I'm here in the Congo, and people don't have shoes, and they don't have transportation, and they're smiling, and they're tribal, they're communal, they're brothers, they're sisters, they're family, they take care of each other. Now, with all that said, they have their problems, and some major problems, but they don't have gun violence. I mean, they have violence, but the people with the guns are really the military or the police, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same kind of incestual problems that we have in America. Like they look at some of our problems and they're like, "How are y'all doing that?" Right? And then we look at them and we're like, "How are y'all doing that?" But instead of just saying, "Wow, we can learn," there's actually something that we not can just learn, but gain value from and apply from them that would make us more beautiful, that would make us happier, that would make us more loving and more understanding and more empathetic. And that's why I love Chopin Kabambi, the director. With this movie, I mean, he basically just stamped his ticket to get out of the Congo. This guy could leave, which is what a lot of people want to do, and he refuses. He is going back to the Congo. He's not leaving the Congo because he wants to inspire and he wants to uplift and he wants to evolve, transform, and provide hope for all Congolese people that they can actually rise up from where they are as a third world country. You know, that's why they're beautiful, man. They are really strong and they have a lot of heart.
You know, and you hope that people, as they are able to see the film Heart of Africa, that they're able to feel even a fraction of the experience that you had, that they're able to see the beauty, if only a fraction of the things that you were able to experience. I also imagine, and walk me through this as well, when missionaries came home, I served my my mission in Cleveland. When I came home, even though it was Cleveland, Ohio, here in the United States, it was a different world to me. And to try and translate the experience and the opening of my heart and the things that I learned from the saints and from those who weren't members of the church in Ohio, to try and translate to those back home, I couldn't do it, or I didn't do it justice.
It took me an adjustment, and it took me a lot longer than I thought it would, and a lot longer than I would probably admit to most people. When I got back, I experienced some form of, I guess, depression, if you will, guilt, shame. I felt like there's so much more that I could do, that I needed to do, but I didn't know what to do. And I also came back 20-something pounds lighter with malaria. And I, you know, my family was here, and I was so happy to see my family and so in love with my family and couldn't let go of them. But I also felt so bad for everyone in the Congo that I didn't know if I was ever going to see again, you know? It was a lot of internalizing, a lot of processing that I think right now I'm just now starting to gain hindsight on, because I'm very fortunate that I get to have this movie as kind of a representation of that experience. Mm-hmm. And it's very cathartic for me right now, because I just saw the movie for the first time last night at the premiere. Mm-hmm. And when you were just saying, I hope that we can only hope that there's a fraction, there's a fraction, there's more than a fraction. And I'm so proud of what they've done. I was just amazed that we were able to finish the movie, period. Hmm. We had so many problems. We had, from machine guns to kidnappings to typhoid and malaria rampant on set, there was so much that tried to prevent us from finishing that film. And Chopin said it last night, it was a miracle, it was an act of God that we were even able to finish it, much less see what I saw last night. I was completely blown away. It's a beautiful film, and I'm incredibly proud of them and to be a small part of it. Yeah.
You know, and there is that that spiritual nature within it, and I think that people listening to this will be, you know, sort of fascinated of your engagement in it, and being able to share that message. I'm sure there are moments of I don't want to say divine intervention, but maybe that's what I mean. Things that stick out from you or for you either during the filming or while in the country. I'm going to ask you, like, to pick to fit your favorite child, if you can share just an experience that that had some spiritual or divine impact on you.
Yeah, I mean, the I said this earlier, I'll try to articulate it. It won't be so much an exact moment as it is kind of the encapsulation of the whole experience, which began the moment I stepped off that plane and has carried over until me seeing the movie last night. So basically up until now. And that's that what happens on screen was happening off screen. Hmm. It was this mirror image, this dynamic, this relationship, where we're trying to figure each other out. We're getting to know each other. We're getting closer. We're falling in love with one another as Americans, as Congolese, as brothers. And it was this, I'm going to say this, and I hope it translates. I hope people understand it. There's a little guilt, because I feel like what I gained from this experience is so much more than I could ever give. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I wasn't there. I was supposed to be there a week. And you know, my wife allowed me, you know, to be in a third world country for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
To finish this film, and that's not in her nature. You know, that it's not in my nature to be away. That's the longest I've ever been away from my family.
Yeah.
Everyone was on the same page for the first time in my life to get this thing done. It was like, we have to do this. And what happened off camera was a miracle as much as what happened on camera. And watching them, these people, literally, what I'm about to say, I'm not exaggerating. They don't know how to operate equipment, much less do lighting. Now they do. They're down there experimenting. But when you're under the gun for a feature film, you know what I mean? And you're trying to meet a deadline. And we were having to problem solve things. And I was watching the Congolese people problem solve things that there is no explanation for how they were able to solve those problems. Hmm. There's no explanation. It just, they figured it out. We figured it out together. And that's the type of stuff. I mean, there were some scary moments that I probably shouldn't go into too much detail on.
Sure.
That I probably should have left the country, and I didn't. And it wasn't like I mean, I was hiding out in villages as the only white guy, you know, and there was no other option but this is the right thing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I'm trying to say. The divine intervention part of it was, this is bigger than me.
Yeah.
This is bigger than a movie.
Yeah.
And I can't make it about me or anything. Like, this is bigger. And that's I hope that translates.
Absolutely. This thing that we've been talking about is the heart of Africa, and people need to see it as soon as possible. You know, that's a huge thing that we've talked about. Those opening weekends, that first week after opening weekend, go with your family, go multiple times, especially if you want to encourage these stories to be told time and time again. Those numbers matter. So, listen to this.
Do.
Yeah.
They really matter opening weekend. And we're up against another epic challenge right now, which is COVID-19, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fascinating to me because the Congolese people, they deal with this on a daily basis.
Right.
Their entire lives. And here we are dealing with it, a lot of us for the first time, trying to figure this thing out. And this is bigger than just the movie. And these numbers are bigger because it's about a nation of people. And I swear to you, it's almost like this is like that last challenge, right? And so I want to encourage people to take precautions, to be careful, to be safe, but don't be scared to go to a movie theater. Wash your hands, wipe the seats down, cover your mouth, wear a mask, but go see this movie because it is important.
Yeah.
Not just for us. It's important for a whole nation of people that they can continue to get to do this, that they can get another opportunity.
See it once, see it 100 times, see it as much as you can. The film is called Heart of Africa, and I know for the at least foreseeable future, you're not only going to be involved in promoting this and making sure that people get to see it, but other events along with Heart of Africa. Let me ask you, though, as you pivot and look toward the future, are there other things that we can be teased about that we can look forward to see our friend Brandon doing?
I have some movies coming out. But right now, I'm going to focus on Heart of Africa.
I knew it.
And I'm gonna be at the theater this weekend. I'm gonna be out there elbowing people. I won't be shaking your hand, but I'll be elbowing you.
I'm a huge fan of that ankle thing. The ankle thing that people are doing. I think that's pretty fun.
We'll do the ankle thing. We'll do a little merry-go-round.
Yeah.
But I'll be out there promoting this film and for the foreseeable. And then. Stay in the moment, and then on to the next one.
Sounds great. And I hope you'll come back if the message of one of those future films has anything to do with the church and things that we can help not only promote, but also to connect people with. I hope that you'll reach back out to us and we'll be able to chat.
Absolutely. I would love that. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. And we hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the back row.
show.